you would, open up your Bibles to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 3 will be our scripture reading. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about their suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them out, to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt?
Thank you, Brother Kent, for that reading from the book of Exodus in the Old Testament. Thank you for being in our assembly today to worship God with us. We trust that you brought your Bible, your notepad. You'll be willing to follow along in our study together. As we study, a statement heard sometimes, why me, Lord? No doubt many of us have had to face a task in our lives to endure a situation that we really preferred not to be a part of. Or maybe it was some kind of situation was forced upon us and we had to deal with it. It's quite likely that we then found ourselves in a position where we're kind of covering our head, ducking for cover, hiding in the closet and saying, Why me, Lord? That question could really indicate a number of concepts that we have sometimes. It could be that we have an overly sense of self-pity about ourselves. Maybe we're having to shoulder more in the realm of burdens, financial burdens that we feel like we should justly have to bear in a family situation. Maybe there's been an accident in the family and someone has been left in need of physical, medical care that seems to be weighing upon us because they're sick or they're helpless. And that task occupies most of our time and it robs us of things that we want to do, and so we're kind of thinking about, why is all of this happening to me? It could be that we shy away from responsibilities that we prefer not to accept. Perhaps the tasks are beyond the preparation that we've made and beyond what training that we've had to enable us to gracefully approach those and handle them well in our estimation. Maybe we feel a little bit uneasy and feel a sense of inability and maybe a sense that we're afraid that we might fail if we attempt to handle some situation that's come our way in life. And so we find ourselves asking, why should I have to do this? Why is it me? It may very well be that we think of others to be actually more qualified to handle a situation than we're called upon to handle. And we comfort ourselves in the feeling sometimes that we get ourselves off the hook and don't have to bear some situation. It may be that somehow we feel that there's some force out there, some power that's really working against us to bring us sickness or pain, difficulty, trials, problems in life. And we may attribute that power to God. We may attribute that power to Satan. But we feel like there's some power out there that just won't cease when it comes to bringing ills upon us. And we feel overburdened, and so we moan, why me, Lord? The scriptures give examples of people who really ask the very same question, if you think about it. Moses, for example, Having been brought up in the courts of Pharaoh, Moses is characterized as being educated in all the learning of the Egyptian. He was a man of power and great deeds. But there came a time in his life when he didn't want to be regarded as the son of Pharaoh. And he went out among his brethren in Egyptian bondage. And he slew an Egyptian who was causing one of his brothers, an Israelite brother, to suffer. And he hid him in the sand in Exodus chapter 2. You know the story about how he ended up having to flee Egypt and out in tending the sheep for quite a number of years. A burning bush he noticed in the distance. And the Lord spoke to him and gave him this commission that Kent read for us from the book of Exodus in our text this morning. And his response basically was, "Why me, Lord?" When he responded, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" Several times after that, during his discussion with the Lord on this occasion, there was a series of excuses that really all could boil down to his attitude of heart. Why me? Why not somebody else? I'm not a very good talker. Why does it have to be me? All out of all of these people that you could choose, why would it have to be me? But once Moses busied himself with the work of God that God gave him to do, he ultimately ended up being successful because God wanted him to do it and God helped him do it. And Numbers 12 and verse 3 says of Moses, "Now the man Moses was very humble, more than any man who was on the face of the earth." But there was a point in his life when he wanted to find a way out. And that way out was, why me? Why is it me? Gideon's another example in the book of God. He lived at a time when the Midianites and their allies were impoverishing the land with their herds of cattle. And so many of the Israelites had to live in caves in Judges 6 and verse 2. But while Gideon was threshing wheat by the wine press so that he could hide it from the Midianites, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in Judges 6 and verse 12 and said to him, "The Lord is with you, O valiant warrior." Feeling that the Lord had forsaken Israel, he asked the angel how all these terrible things could be happening to Israel if God was still their God. In Judges 6 and verse 14, the Lord looked at him and said, "Go in this your strength and deliver Israel from the hand of Midian. Have I not sent you?" In verse 15, here are the words of Gideon that are very much similar to, "Why me, Lord?" Judges 6 and verse 15, he said to him, "O Lord, how shall I deliver Israel? Behold, my family is the least in Manasseh, and I am the youngest in my father's house." Here are the reasons why I can't do it. Why should it be me? Why me, Lord? Elijah, another Bible character that didn't just really come out and say, "Why me, Lord?" But their thoughts might very well be in the same category. This mighty man of God led a very rugged life. It was his lot in life to come face to face with wicked King Ahab, a man whose wickedness is convincingly stated in 1 Kings 21 and verse 25 when it says, "Surely there was no one like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the sight of the Lord because Jezebel, his wife, incited him." When Elijah had the false prophets of Baal slain in the contest on Mount Carmel, as you recall, Jezebel sent him word that she would have him slain by tomorrow about this time in 1 Kings 19 and verse 2. 1 Kings 19 and verse 3 tells us that he was afraid and arose and ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and he left his servant there. he was so greatly discouraged that he made this request from God in 1 Kings 19 and verse 4. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat down under a juniper tree. And he requested for himself that he might die. And said, "It is enough now, O Lord. Take my life, for I am not better than my fathers." A man has to be pretty disheartened with the situations of life to appeal to God and take his life, don't you think? Have you ever reached that point of despair in your life? Have you ever had the troubles of life weighing so heavily on you that you just actually feel like praying to God that he would just take your life away from you? That's the way this man felt. Why is it me? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord, the God of hosts, in 1 Kings 19 and verse 10, for the sons of Israel have forsaken your covenant, they've torn down your altars, they've killed your prophets with the sword, and I am alone and left, and they seek my life to take it away. This is what he was thinking about when he was appealing to God to take his life. But 1 Kings 19 and verse 18, yet I will leave 7,000 in Israel, all the knees that have not bowed to Baal and every mouth that has not kissed him. Elijah was a man who struggled with that problem of the burdens he's called on to bear in this life and appeals to God for help. I want to find a way out of it. And maybe the way out of it is if you just kill me, if you just take my life away. Martha is one in the pages of the New Testament, a fine lady, typical of so many gracious women who want to make sure that everything is okay in their house when they have guests and they want to entertain guests in their home, especially at the time when meals are served. In Luke 10 and verse 38, now as they were traveling along, he entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. That is the Lord. She had a sister called Mary who was seated at the Lord's feet, listening to his word. But Martha was distracted with all her preparations, and she came up to him and said, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do the serving alone? Tell her to help me." Is this really not a why me, Lord, attitude? Lord, do you not care? Is what she said. My sister has left me to do all the serving. You see, it's an appeal to the Lord about some situation that I am in, some difficulty that I am having. What words did Jesus use to describe Martha in verse 41? "Martha, Martha, you are worried and bothered about so many things." Notice what Jesus said about Mary in verse 42. "But only one thing is necessary, for Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her." Biblical examples of people who basically, when confronted with a difficult situation in life that they were called on to bear, responded by saying, "Why me, Lord? Why me?" Have I said that about myself? Have you said that about yourself and your situation? Do you know someone who has? In Job 14 and verse 1, man who is born of woman is short-lived and full of turmoil. I think that's an adequate expression, don't you? Short-lived and full of turmoil is this life. Life really has its problems, and problems come in all sorts of different packages. Of course, sin is the man's first and foremost in problems, if you're thinking about the greatest problem that men have. But there may be problems with myself. There may be family problems. There may be marriage problems. There may be problems with my children. I may be suffering a sickness or disease or some tragedy in life that's happened to me or someone very close to me. Some death in the family. Financial problems. Church problems plague our nation with divisions and strife and indifference. And the tendency for people to say, why me? When we feel like the Lord has dealt us a bad hand. What have I done to deserve this? Why did God let this happen? Why am I being persecuted? But when we ask those type of questions and we think about that way of thinking in our minds, do we pause to realize and to think that very seldom we ever ask the questions, why not me? When we hear of the difficulties our neighbors are having, tragedy happens to them, do we ever ask ourselves, well, why didn't that happen to me instead of them? Or do we ever ask the question, why me, when it comes to receiving good things or blessings in life, things that are positive? Well, why'd that happen to me and not somebody else? Very seldom do we think in that way. I think, really, when we ask this question, why me, Lord, we're searching for an answer to the question, why? What are the reasons for the difficulties I'm having? What are the reasons for this burden that I'm called on to bear? There are several reasons for that that the Bible points out that I'd like to share with you in a few minutes this morning. The first one is, as far as why things that are we perceive as bad are happening to us, one reason for that is because sin came into the world at the beginning, and death and disease come as a consequence of sin. In Genesis 2, in verse 17, but from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. For in the day that you eat from it, you will surely die. Problems came into the world because of sin. In Adam all die. The sting of death is sin, Paul wrote to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 15. The reason we have sickness and aches and pains and suffering and death is because sin entered the world. That's one reason that gives us a rock solid answer as to why. But that reason may not fit our individual concern that we have. So let's think about some other reasons why the Bible says the consequences from our own sin we may be called on to bear. Peter talks about someone who suffers as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer or as a troublesome meddler in the affairs of others. That brings suffering to an individual. So it may be the consequences of our own sin is why we're feeling that type of burden. Proverbs 13:15, the way of the treacherous is hard. Or the way of the transgressor is hard in the King James Version. A New Testament principle that we see from the book of Galatians in Galatians 6, verses 7 through 9, whatever a man sows, this shall he also reap. But it's really not exclusively a New Testament principle because Hosea 8 and verse 7 says, for they sow the wind and they reap the whirlwind. Very much the same principle of a man sows whatever he reaps. So this is another reason why I may be called on to suffer in this life. And here's another thing. The suffering that I'm called on to bear may not have anything at all to do with my sins. It may be because of the sins of someone else. In Exodus 20, verses 5 and 6, the passage talks about consequences of sin visited to the third and fourth generation. Matthew 5 and verse 32, a man unscripturally puts away his wife. She's called upon to bear a burden in this life. The burden of she cannot remarry or else she's guilty of adultery when she does. Ezra 10 in verse 44, children suffered because of the parents who had married foreign wives in that text. Somebody else messed up, and then I'm suffering as a result of that. That's another reason why people suffer in this life. Thirdly, people suffer for the cause of Christ. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, if anyone suffers as a Christian. Hebrews 12 and verse 5, enduring hostility by sinners and striving against sin is called the discipline of the Lord in this passage. And what son is there whom his father does not discipline? The writer asks. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So there's another reason why men are called on to suffer in this life. Another reason is violation of natural laws. What natural laws are you talking? Well, gravity is one natural law. You fell off a ladder and broke your leg. You're suffering with that. Why did it happen? Well, there was a natural law that was violated. Balance was lost. And gravity pulled you down to the earth in a quick way. And it hurt. Fire, it's good to cook with. It's good to heat our homes with. But it burns our bodies if we stick our hand in the fire. It'll burn a house down. Can't have good without there also being bad. If it's possible to feel good about something, is it likewise possible to feel bad about it? If it's possible to have a good marriage, is it likewise possible to have a bad marriage? Natural laws being violated are one reason why people suffer. Natural phenomena, like depicted in the picture on the screen, the results of a tornado. Earthquakes happen on this earth. Hurricanes, lightning storms, tsunamis, floods are all natural occurrences. And the suffering caused by these are to any and all wherever these things hit. But people sometimes who are victims of these natural phenomena appeal to God and say, God, are you picking on me? What did I do to deserve this? Another problem, thing that we need to think about as a cause to some of the problems we experience in life is the free will that people have. Man was created in the image of God and given free will to make choice. And men make choices, and sometimes they make the wrong choices. Otherwise, we would be robots under the direction of God, but sometimes people make the wrong choices, and that means there are consequences, and it's possible for people, because of making a wrong choice, to blunder, to make a mistake, to sin, to commit a crime. And that brings consequences that are painful and that are unpleasant. Some choices in life bring grief and suffering. And so when we ask why, we're really sometimes searching for what are the reasons that I have this burden in front of me right now. Secondly, when we ask why me, we're kind of demonstrating the most familiarity with my personal space and my life and my where I am in this life. We're looking at the one who suffers, and we're concentrating our concern on this one guy. Why is it me? And it's helpful. It's a natural thing to do. It's helpful to realize that all men suffer in this life. Evildoers and Christians, 1 Peter 4, 15 through 16. people suffer as murderers, as thieves, but also suffer as Christians. Evildoers and Christians suffer. Romans 8 and verse 22. The whole creation groans and suffers. So, all men suffer. The righteous people in this world suffer too. Job, who was blameless and upright, in Job 1 and verse 8, feared God, turned away from evil, yet he suffered the loss of his property. He suffered the loss of his servants, his children, his health. His wife was of no help to him, and his friends turned on him. David, in Psalm 55, verses 1 through 7, a pouring out of his suffering that he was having to do. One key phrase that indicates his suffering is under discussion here. My heart is in anguish within me. The Lord Jesus, who was rejected, his own people did not receive him, the record says in John 1. He was beaten, they spat in his face and beat him with their fists. He was ridiculed, he was betrayed, he was crucified. Paul, who was persecuted, and outlines several specific things regarding that persecution in 2 Corinthians 11. And on top of that, in 2 Corinthians 12, verses 7 through 10, he says, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan, to torment me and prevent me or to keep me from exalting myself. All Christians suffer. The Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 12 said that the Lord scourges everyone whom he receives. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus shall be persecuted. Romans 8, 16 and 18, those who are children of God, fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. And then the third part of that question, why me, Lord? When we ask, why me, Lord? We're looking to someone with some responsibility or some power that could maybe explain things to us so that we can understand and graciously accept something that presently we don't. Someone maybe with some responsibility to relieve some of the burden. Someone who might have the power to do something about it. Don't you think? Who is responsible? The Lord is. He's in control. He's in the power. Are we blaming the Lord because of the burden we are presently bearing? If we are, I want to suggest some things to you. God doesn't want bad for men. He wants all to be saved in 1 Timothy 2 and 2 Peter 3. He gave his only son for us because he loves us in John 3 and verse 16. Does a father really want bad things for his children? I don't know of any fathers presently who desire bad things for their children. Only good things. Why do people blame God then, if this is true? Well, one reason for that is people equate their problems with punishment for sin. And this is really an old misconception. In John 9 and verse 1, the disciples thought that a man was blind due to the sins of his parents or the fact that he sinned in some way or another. And Jesus had to deal with that problem in John 9 and verse 1. In Acts 28 and verse 4, a native of the island that Paul was shipwrecked on thought that Paul must be a murderer since a snake bit him. You see the way that he was thinking there? And Job's friends in Job 3 and following thought that he must have done something that was wrong in the sight of God because he was suffering the way that he was. But suffering is not always due to one's own sin, as we've thought about already. Luke 13, verses 1 through 5, Jesus raised a couple of questions here to his disciples. Do you suppose that these Galileans were greater sinners than all other Galileans because they suffered this fate? Were they suffering because they were greater sinners than other people, is his question? And his answer to that question was no. No. He goes on to say, or do you suppose that those 18 on whom the tower in Siloam fell and killed them were worse culprits than all the men who lived in Jerusalem? And his answer to that question was no. They were not. To Job, God said of him that he was blameless and upright, that he feared God and turned away from evil in Job chapter 1 and verse 8, and yet all these bad things befell him. The reason for that was not that Job was a sinner. In Hebrews chapter 4, we're told about the fact that Christ suffered. Did that automatically mean that he suffered because he was a sinner? Hebrews 4 and 15 says, yet without sin. 1 Peter 2 and verse 19, a person bears up under sorrows when suffering unjustly, the record says. So suffering's not always due to one's sin. Why do people blame God? Maybe they have too high an opinion of their own righteousness. Seen in questions like, what did I do to deserve this? The why me questions suggest that we think that we have lived in such a way that we actually deserve better than what we're called on to bear. Selfishness may be a reason why people blame God, where we focus only on ourselves, and we begin to think, well, if another person suffers, that's fine, and I don't care. But if I do, I've got a problem. And my problem's with God. Another reason people blame God is because it has the workings of removing from me any guilt that I may have. Or it will decrease my guilt. As in dealing with others, if we can point the finger of blame at someone else, then it reduces the amount of guilt that we feel is coming to bear on us. Why did you steal from the company? Well, I did it because my children were expecting Christmas presents, or they've had a bad life. They were mistreated. You know, start pointing fingers at everyone else in other situations rather than, I did it because I was tempted to sin and I was overcome. And it's my responsibility. I hope that by looking at this question and by thinking about why me, Lord, that we can, when we get to the point where we feel overburdened and we're tempted to say, why me, Lord, we can pause and think about the Bible examples who basically ask the same question. And think about all the things that play into the scenario that bring things to bear on my life that I'm uncomfortable bearing. When life presents its challenge, which sometimes and most of the times turns out really to be opportunities for us, let us be slow to complain and to give excuses as to why we don't rise to meet the challenge. Let us not respond with words that indicate that we think we're being picked on. One never reads where the Apostle Paul said, why me, Lord, when he was given a work to do. In Psalm 55, The psalmist wrote, "As for me, I shall call upon God, and the Lord will save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will complain and murmur, and he will hear my voice. He will redeem my soul in peace from the battle which is against me, for they are many who strive with me." And then in verse 22, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and he will sustain you. He will never allow the righteous to be shaken." What great words those are, and what a powerful passage for us to turn to when we feel like saying, "Why me, Lord?" Can we help you today to become a Christian? If we can, please let us help you to follow the Lord's pattern, to obey his will, and enjoy the remission of sins. If such is your desire, please come and let us know while we stand together and encourage you by singing this song.